this may be, seem a strange kind of thing to say, but I do believe that unanswered prayer can be a beneficial thing and can be used by God as a positive experience for us. So how can we benefit from it? Well, surely it develops trust, because if we don't immediately see the answer that we expect, and yet we believe that God is good, that he's working out good purposes. If we take Romans 8:28 to heart, whatever version you use it, and it reads differently in several different versions, but the idea is that either that all things work together for good for those who love God, that's the authorized version, or in all things God works together for the good of those who love him. So either way, that's the NIV, I think, it's kind of conveying this idea that God is at work, that his purposes are good, and even if we cannot see what's happening, even if he appears to be silent, yet we can reach out to him, we can trust him, our trust can be deepened as we wrestle through this whole issue of unanswered prayer, and as we come more and more to experience the reality of Romans 8:28 in our own lives, we can develop a deeper trust in God, and that's a positive thing. Patience and perseverance. In James 5, James holds up Job and the prophets as examples of patient endurance and suffering. And the stimulus that unanswered prayer gives us is to persevere. We're so inclined to give up, aren't we? Just so inclined to throw in the towel when nothing seems to be happening. And yet, if we rightly respond to the whole problem of unanswered prayer, it can develop patience and perseverance in us. This is an amazing thing, that in Philippians 4, Paul says to us that we should not be careful about anything, not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known to God, and God will give us whatever we're asking. Now, that's not what he says. He says that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. But we get what we don't ask for. It's peace, the experience of peace. And this is related to trust. We know that God is working out his purposes and that these are good purposes. And as we pray to him, as we develop the trust in him, we experience his peace. And that is such a precious thing. The world is such a troubled place, and we're often troubled with it. And to have that deep sense of confidence in our hearts that God is doing what is right is such a blessed thing. And obedience and submission to God's will. Lord Jesus Christ, back in Gethsemane again, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, but not what I want, but what you want. And that is the omega point of the whole thing. It is submission, obedience to the Father's will. And we all need to learn this until we're completely comfortable with being just, God, do with us what you want, not our will, but yours. And we're all on the journey to that position of submission that the Lord Jesus came to, took him to the cross. And finally, something of the mystery of prayer. Now, prayer is a mystery, and there are things that are mysterious, aren't they? Prayer is a mystery. I mean, how is it that we can communicate with an invisible God who is a spirit, who is everywhere, and yet who is, in these great theological words, he's transcendent, he's other, he's completely different from us, yet he's immanent, he's with us. I mean, how does that work? How can we communicate? How does he understand? It's a mysterious thing. And in the book of mysteries, the Bible's mystery book is the book of Revelation. I know it's a book of mysteries because no two commentaries agree on what Revelation is actually saying. So, but it's a fantastic book. And the way I conceive of the book of Revelation is rather like a picture gallery where if things are not quite laid out logically, but there are fantastic images of what God is doing. I just want to leave this mystery with you. Revelation 8:1. It's talking about the opening of the seals on the scroll of God's unfolding purpose. And the Lord Jesus Christ opens this. And verse 1 of Revelation 8 says, when he, that is the Lamb, opened the seventh seal, that's the final seal, so it's really, this is fantastic, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Now you would think, when he's opening the last seal in the book of God's purposes, that's the time for the fanfare and the hallelujah chorus and the trumpets and the thunder and the lightning, but no, there's silence in heaven. Can you just imagine what must that have been like? And imagine John listening to this, just like holding his breath, scared to move. Why is there silence at this point in time? Absolutely no idea. God willed it this way. I don't know why there was silence, but the silence is bookended by two things. Because it goes on to say that another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. The smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of the saints, went up before God from the angel's hands. I think this angel is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ offering our prayers mixed with incense before God. So you can be sure of this one thing, that even if heaven appears to be silent, your prayers are heard. Okay, your prayers are heard. They're offered up by the Lord Jesus Christ with incense before God. And that's one of the bookends of this mysterious period of silence that we find in heaven. And the other bookend is at the end of Revelation 7, where we have this amazing description of what it's going to be like when we get to the other side. And the very last expression there is, the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water. And listen to this. This is what I want to leave you with. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There are going to be tears on this side as we wrestle through pain and suffering and sorrow and unanswered questions, as heaven seems to be silent and we don't know what's happening. The thing that we have to appreciate is that the God who appears to be silent is actually hearing our prayers, that his heart is beating with love towards us, the God who notices our tears on this side of eternity is the God who will wipe them away on the other side. And then I don't think our unanswered questions, the prayers that have apparently gone unanswered, the periods of silence will matter, because we will know that what God does, this is one of the things I think we'll be singing in heaven, it's that VJ will perhaps know this, I don't know if any Bach fans here, Cantata, was Gott tut, das ist wohlgetan. What God does, that is well done. We will know that then. And at the moment, as we wrestle with the whole issue of unanswered prayer, let's never forget that the greatest answer to prayer is a deeper knowledge and experience of God himself. And he sometimes allows himself to be hidden and to be silent just so that we'll get to know him better. So I hope that's encouraging. I was a bit worried about that checklist of 10 that it was going to scare the life out of you. So I wanted to end on an encouraging note. And there will be tears and unanswered questions, but when we get there, he's going to wipe away the tears and it won't matter because we'll be there.